Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We do it every Monday at this time. Usually I'm in Schulze's chair doing his job, but Schulze, what do we have for us on this glorious Monday Stock Watch?
We got a lot of NFL. All NFL.
So beautiful.
Let's just get it started here, baby.
Coachman, defense number 93. Washington has been advised that at some point the referee can award a score if this type of behavior happens again. For now, it's a replay of second down.
So that was near the end of the Commanders-Eagles game. In the second half, of course, Luvu tried to jump over the line twice, mistimed that, and got called for encroachment before Jonathan Allen then jumped early, prompting that warning from the officials. I've never heard that in my life before. I know, Suk, you've played in the NFL. I don't think you knew that was possible, guys. We've been talking about the referees and whether or not they affect games too much, conversations surrounding their involvement, protecting quarterbacks too much, protecting Pat Mahomes. Apparently they can just add a score to a team's total, guys. Buy or sell, refs should be allowed to award a score when they see fit.
Go ahead, Suk. Was wild, though. I was not familiar with the, quote, this is what it's called, the palpably unfair act rule.
Thank you.
Yes. I did know this. I didn't remember the exact details of it, but it does get mentioned once in a while. The idea is that, like, if you just, when it's half the distance of the goal, if there's something you don't like, you know, you can literally just grab a receiver every time and throw him down.
Yeah.
Like, tackle him or jump off sides every single time.
I remember Chip Kelly doing this when in his 1 year with the head coach of San Francisco. They were ending a half.
Yeah.
And they had like 6 or 7 defensive penalties in a row because they're like, well, we're just going to make sure it doesn't happen.
Yes. So I did know that there are.
I did not know a ref could award a touchdown.
I knew it was one of those things where that after a certain point, the refs kind of have a lot of leeway. And when they said that, I was like, I can't say that I instantly knew that you could award a score. But in that situation, once they gave the warning, I was like, oh, yeah. I'm like, you can't keep doing this. And by the way, I was really hoping that it would happen.
I want to see it.
Come on. Because the last time they jumped, it was not intentional. He, you know, they just got him on the hard count.
Yep.
It wasn't old Frankie going, you know, over the top there, go Cougs. So, yes, I was aware of that. And they do have it in there for that reason. Like, imagine if you're punting and, you know, whatever, and you just keep dragging people down. Like, you can't intentionally commit a penalty over and over and over again to bog down a game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I've never seen it happen. I don't know if it's ever happened, but it is in place. And I think there's a reason why. And I think it's a valid thing. Because once that happens, then you're like, oh, crap, don't do it again.
They said this rule has been around since 1942, or at least I heard that today. I don't know that I haven't heard of it ever actually being used. The fact that they didn't have to use it here, and at least in my lifetime, I've never seen it used, makes me think it's okay that it exists because it hasn't come into play.
They warned him. I mean, I gave him 2 warnings.
Yeah.
It just would have been cool to see it happen again, you know, and because, I mean, it's a valid point. If that rule's in place, why wouldn't you just keep doing that?
Yeah.
You know, because you can't get any closer to the goal line.
Yep.
You know?
I mean, at some point, you can't inch the ball forward any further. So.
No. So you might as well just take a chance and jump the snap and hope that, God, one day you make a play.
This goes on the quarterback. The wins go to the quarterback. The losses go to the quarterback. And I think Josh Allen has to ask himself, was I born in the wrong era? Because Mahomes is not going anywhere, Boone.
No.
He's not going anywhere whatsoever. This is number 5, and he's going for 3 in a row. Going for his 4th overall. So at some point, they got to figure out a way to get over the hump. And I don't feel bad for anyone because everything in this game is earned, not given. They got to figure out a way to go earn a Super Bowl because the Chiefs continue to do it.
That is Booger McFarland on ESPN discussing the career of Josh Allen. Of course, nobody except Joe Burrow has been able to beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. It's never happened in these 7 years. Mahomes has been marching towards Super Bowls. 0-4 now for Josh Allen in his playoff career against Mahomes and the Chiefs, trying to reach their first Super Bowl in his career, guys. Buy or sell, the Bills lost to Kansas City, like Booger said, is Josh Allen's fault.
No, again, the hot takes that are coming, out of this thing. It's just, they're silly. They're just absolutely silly. Josh Allen's fault. No. Ultimately, what's the old adage? Like, when we win, it's we. When we lose, it's I. When you're the quarterback, mm-hmm. right? And so obviously you get a lot of credit when it goes your way, and you get a lot of blame. But again, this idea that to get over the hump, it takes some sort of magical effort for Josh Allen. A couple years ago, Josh Allen led them down to the winning score, and then his defense didn't hold up for 17 seconds or whatever.
And by the way, he almost single-handedly beat them himself this year, running the ball 40 yards at the end of the game.
So that's Josh Allen's fault a couple years ago. Again, the fourth and one, that's Josh Allen's fault. They didn't get any of those. It wasn't the blocking. Kincaid dropping the ball, the defense not being able to get off the field on third and 10. Josh Allen did not. I didn't think Josh Allen played a great game in the first half. I thought he was lights out in the second. They ran the ball real well. But to say that that is on Josh Allen, again, you're just looking for clicks and you're looking for hot takes. But that's just that's an absolutely ridiculous argument that somehow the Bills' failures are Josh Allen's failures. They're the Bills' failures, and Allen is part of that. But I promise you, the thing that is the least problematic about the Buffalo Bills
is Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. If you want a problem, it's the slowness and the plottiness of their secondary. And when they lost their starting corner and they pointed it, the backup that came was that Elam or whatever, that guy got Kyrie picked Elam. On left and right. And they made that second half, the back half of that defense, look slow all game long. And that's not Josh Allen either. So nice try with the hot take.
Yeah, I will say that Josh Allen looked a little rough in the first half. He wasn't himself. He certainly didn't play like the MVP candidate he was all day, but he didn't play poorly enough to say that this is on him. If anything, I think there are times where he kept him in this game. I thought the ball to Mac Hollins was perfect and incredible.
It was amazing.
Josh
Allen went 22 of 34 with two touchdowns and no picks.
There's a producer,
quarterback rating of 104
for ESPN, who does great stats research, and he points out that in Josh Allen's four playoff runs, 10 games total, he averages 250 pass yards a game, 50 rush yards a game. He has 22 touchdown passes and one pick with six touchdown runs and zero fumbles. So that is 28 total touchdowns, one turnover. The worst thing you can say about him is that he's not the god that is Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, his biggest fault is that he is not Patrick Mahomes.
And that is not something you can blame him for.
No, but I thought, especially early on, I thought that their game plan was wonky. And I thought they got outcoached. I did. I think they got outcoached by Kansas City most of that game.
And you know what? A lot of people get outcoached by Reed and Spagnuolo. And it happens.
And yet it still came down to just fractions of an inch.
Yep. And they are right there knocking on the door. And you know, Chris Jones said it on an interview with Scott Van Pelt after the game. He said, if you want to break up this dynasty, you might have to find someone who's going to hire Spags as a head coach, because we're not going anywhere with this defense. And they deserve a lot of credit, too.
Now, I get my proverbial ass kicked over needing people in my comfort zone. Without this thing being about me in any way, if you don't think I can't operate out of my comfort zone, you're so wrong. It's unbelievable. This is as big a risk as you could take. As big a risk as you could take. No head coaching experience.
That is Dallas Cowboys' very, very old owner, Jerry Jones, at Brian Schottenheimer's opening presser as the new head coach of the Cowboys today, discussing taking a risk and working outside of his comfort zone. Very surprising to many that they did not let McCarthy interview with the Bears, then just let him go, and now have just promoted from within their own organization and promoting a guy that wasn't really on anybody's list for a head coach. So, guys, fair or foul, or excuse me, sorry, I'm used to baseball. Buy or sell, the Dallas Cowboys will have more success under Brian Schottenheimer than they did Mike McCarthy. What was that, three playoff appearances in five seasons? Two division wins?
I don't know what they're doing.
If this was your plan all along to dump McCarthy for a Schottenheimer, then I really don't know.
I'm baffled. And by the way, when you're complimenting your coach, you should probably not throw your coach under the bus by saying that it's this giant risk.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. You're the Dallas freaking Cowboys.
I'll just say this. Most of the time when you make a hire and no one else wants your coach, it's usually a pretty good indicator of what that coach
is. Who else was he interviewing with for head jobs?
No.
Nobody.
He didn't even call the plays in Dallas. Like, if you're doing this, did you just not want to wait on Kellen Moore? again, everything you hear out of Dallas is that Jerry Jones, quote, loves. Again, he talked about it. The fact that he's addressing his comfort zone means there's truth to it because he has to address it.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones wants people that he finds that are his guys that he feels like he can kind of, for lack of a better term, keep under his thumb. And I don't know if there's a more neutered coach in the NFL that we've seen in years than this.
Oh, and by the way, did you see who Schottenheimer then hired as his DC?
Who'd he hire?
Matt Eberflus.
Look, if you're the Cowboys, I'm sorry. If you're a Cowboy fan, good luck to you. Look, Pete Carroll was like USC's like ninth choice, and that worked out pretty well. So maybe this is a...
Yeah, Dana Altman was like Oregon's like sixth or seventh or eighth choice after...
Maybe this is a stroke of genius. I cannot give you... I always like to say when I'm trying to explain something, I may not agree with it, but I can... As long as I can see the path of what you're trying to do, then I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Again, I'm not in the meetings, not part of that organization. I cannot sit here and give you any sort of...
Yeah, what's the direction here?
I don't know. I have yet to hear a narrative where this makes sense. So if you're Dallas, God bless you. Good luck.
And we don't have the audio of this, but I believe I can quote this because Jerry said this himself earlier today. He said everything in Dallas is fine. It's all smiles and glory holes.
That is a real thing that he said. Like, we wanted to double check. Like, I was like, that can't be real. That's like AI.
No, he said it.
He said it. God bless the Cowboys. Also, fun fact that Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes that are getting ready to play in the Super Bowl, they were both born, grew up, went to college in the NFL, and are in the Super Bowl later than the Cowboys were last.
More recently.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Welcome to the Cowboys.
And Mahomes, I mean...
How about them Cowboys?
Mahomes is almost 30.
Yeah, he's 29, yeah.
Dallas is a
mess.
They are a certifiable mess. That'll do it for our Stock Watch, brought to you every week by Goldberg & Jones Divorce for Men. You can always reach them at 1-800-DIVORCE. That's 1-800-DIVORCE. In the news is coming up next, some bad beach driving, and when a dry spell is a good thing. Plus, some snow might be coming. That's next. Primetime, 1080 The Fan. Here's Schultzy.